Welcome to the Week 7 Bird's Eye View podcast. It's Cowboys Week. I'm Zach Berman, the Eagles beat writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer, and this is actually the second edition of the Bird's Eye View podcast. We started it last week, and we will continue to do it throughout the season, giving you all the latest insight, updates, information on the Eagles coverage as part of the Philadelphia Inquirer's Eagles coverage. We have much to discuss this week. As I said, it's Cowboys week. The Eagles are coming off a big 31-20 victory over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And obviously the story of that game is the way Nick Foles performed. As of now, it looks like Nick Foles will get his second start of the season when the Cowboys visit Philadelphia. It's a game essentially for first place in the NFC East. I am going to discuss that and Nick Foles' future here in Philadelphia, both this season and long term, with my fellow beat writer Jeff McClain. You will also hear from Nick himself, and you'll hear from Michael Vick. Michael Vick is obviously, I don't want to say the forgotten name, but he's the player who's been hurt to open up the spot for Foles. So you will hear sound from Foles, you'll hear sound from Vick, you'll hear some insight from McClain, and we will continue to have different features, different interviews here on the podcast as the season progresses. So without further ado, here's Jeff and I discussing the topics of the week. Jeff, obviously, let's start with the quarterbacks because that's where most of the attention is going and should go. Where do you see this going? How do you see this playing out so far?
Wow, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. First off, when Nick plays on Sunday against the Cowboys, it sounds that way, Zach. It sounds like he's going to start, right? So then we'll have to see if he performs well enough to kind of remain the guy, and then Chip has to make a tough decision. But everyone keeps talking as if it's a foregone conclusion that Nick's going to play well enough to be the starter henceforth, and I'm not really sure that's going to happen. I think more than likely what we'll see is probably somewhere in the middle, and then Chip Kelly will probably have a tough decision to make. Although I really think that Michael Vick's going to be the starter once he becomes 100%.
Yeah, you see, that's the thing. Vick fascinates me for this reason, because he's such a competitive guy. You and I have both been around him. We know that. But the thing about that competitiveness is I thought seeing Foles play the way Foles did, he would be so compelled to do whatever it would take to get out there. And he didn't do that. And he's slow playing it, if you will. He's making sure he's 100%. I don't know what he has to gain by waiting other than obviously his health. But the thing about it is that he runs the risk of Nick playing really well. He also runs the risk of being labeled injury prone. I mean, knowing Mike the way you do, what's the upside for him in this situation?
Well, I guess if he comes back and he's less than 100% and he's just not the Michael Vick that we know in terms of running the ball, and I think he probably knows that that's the one facet that he kind of has to rely on and basically show Chip that that's what he can bring to the table and something that Nick can't. So if he's not feeling great, and he kind of even mentioned it today when he spoke to you guys, looking at the transcript, and later when I spoke to him, that he's a different player without the running thing. And although it was funny, one moment Zach, he said to me, he was talking about the I'd have to be a pocket passer, and he's like, I can do that. He kept saying that I could do that. But, and I'm sure he can, but he knows that he's got to be able to run, and he wants to run, and I think that's probably why he's waiting until he's 100%.
I still think if both of them are at their optimum, if both are fully healthy, this offense is better equipped with Mike Vick at quarterback. I just think his running ability, the dynamic ability he brings. But I will say, watching Foles the other day, it was a different Foles than we saw in the preseason. What kind of read did you have on that, and how do you see long-term the Foles-Vick experiment?
Yeah, I agree with you that I think the offense is probably a little bit better in Mike, although I think Nick's right there. I don't think it's far behind. But I think in terms of what Chip wants to do, schematically. Michael helps him out because the read option becomes a play that you can – it's his bread and butter play. It's everything that his offense is built around, and he can really use it a lot more with Michael in there because he has to obviously poses more of a threat than Nick, and that opens things up for LeSean McCoy as well. But getting to your question about Nick, we have to consider what we saw last year and who we had to play around him, right? He didn't play with a healthy offensive line. He didn't have LeSean McCoy for much of the much of that spell. I don't think he had Deshaun at all, and now all of a sudden he does. So those are certainly factors. He's also playing on a team that there's some life to. I mean, that was. He came upon, he started at a bad time for this franchise and for the team. And Andy Reid, everyone knew he was a lame duck at that point, and everyone on defense pretty much had given up to an extent. So I think that's one of the things you have to take into account, the way he's played. And he's older, and he's that second year, the second offseason is a big one, especially for quarterbacks. So I think we're just seeing a guy who's more confident and more comfortable at the position.
But the thing that I'm grappling with here, and I'm trying to figure out is that Nick Foles was here when Chip came in, and Chip obviously he wants to win, and I think we can both agree that all he's thinking about this week is beating the Cowboys, and all he'll think about next week is beating the Giants. But there is a long term interest at stake, and if he thought Foles could be his guy long term, I would think Foles would have been the starter from the jump. It wouldn't have taken this step to see Foles, to get Foles in there. Is that something you agree with, or do you think Chip could genuinely see a future with Foles?
Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing that you kind of keep thinking about. We all made this point countless times in the offseason. You know, if he really liked Nick, and he would have named him the starter, and he wouldn't have brought back Michael Vick. If he really loved Nick, then he probably wouldn't have drafted Matt Barkley. Although I don't think that played into it much. I think, they had a chance to roll the dice on the guy in the fourth round at the quarterback position. You do it. I don't think they really factored. I don't think Nick really factored much into that decision. But the Vic one kind of always stayed in the back of my head and told me really kind of what he thought of Nick. And I'd heard from other people that were new Chip, at least in terms of what he wanted at the quarterback position, and Nick wasn't the guy. I think that he thought that he's got a certain skill set that he could build around if he happened to be the quarterback, and he probably thought that he's a decent quarterback and perhaps one that could be a starter in this league. But is he going to be your franchise guy? Is he going to be the guy that takes his offense to its heights, its greatest heights? And I really don't know yet, and I don't think Chip does either, but I think ultimately, and you probably agree with me to this, Zach, I think the guy is still to be named and probably will be drafted next year.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because that was the next thing I wanted to discuss with you was the game I want to play here is week 15, who's the starting quarterback for this team, and week 1 next year, who's the starting quarterback on this team. And week 15 is fascinating to me because I really don't know if it's going to be Mike or it's going to be Nick. If I had to guess, frankly, I would say Nick. At this point, based on the fact that Vic has the injury history, that I don't know if he's going to remain healthy this season, and the way Nick played, I think there's a better chance that Nick is the starter at the end of the year. Maybe Vic reclaims the spot, but I think by the end of the year, I can see a scenario in which Foles is the starting quarterback. But then long term, week 1 next year, I don't think the quarterback's on the roster. I don't think it's Foles. I don't think it's Barkley. Where do you weigh in there?
Yeah, I mean, those are really tough questions to answer. But I guess, Nick, I would agree with you. Nick probably would be the most likely guy, I would say, at week 15 for the reasons that you mentioned. And, probably also because I'm not sure if they'll be in the playoff hunt then. And at that point, he may have gone to Nick if, let's say, Michael hasn't been injured seriously enough to not finish out the season. As for week 1 next year, that's a tough one because, even if they draft somebody, generally if you draft someone in the first round, nowadays you have to start them off the bat. But I wonder if that's something that Chip will do. Even if they draft someone in the top 10 or top 15, you still got Nick here. But I guess if they do draft someone, they potentially try and trade Nick. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of things that could happen there. But more than likely than not, I'll go along with you and say it won't be someone on this roster right now. But you really can't rule out Nick. I know for certain it won't be Michael Vick.
and then finally here, we have not discussed it yet, but we should. You mentioned the playoff hunt. This is a big game. The Eagles are 3-3. They're playing essentially for a share of the NFC or for the NFC's first place. I know it will only be week 7, but nonetheless, how do you see the Eagles stacking up here against the Cowboys?
Yeah, I mean, it's a big game, as big as they get, I guess, in week 7, in that, 4-3 sounds a lot better than 3-4.
Yep.
And you beat the guy, you beat the team that'll be 3-4 in a spot below you in the division. Obviously, they do play the Cowboys at the end of the season. But it would legitimize their chance for the playoffs, I think. I think everyone would agree upon that. But that being said, it's going to be a tough game. I mean, the Cowboys aren't great, but they're certainly more talented, I think, than the Eagles, especially overall and probably certainly on the defensive side of the ball. Right now, their offense is playing at a pretty high level. So, too, is the Eagles and Chip Kelly. I give, certainly the edge to the Cowboys at quarterback with Tony Romo, who's once again playing very good. But I think the problem will be the Eagles defense trying to stop Romo,
yep,
as opposed to the Dallas defense trying to stop the Eagles offense. I think it's going to be a high-scoring affair, as we've seen plenty of times this year, Zach. But I think the Cowboys probably will ultimately prevail.
I agree with Jeff. I like this Cowboys offense probably more than they're getting credit for. I think what they did against Denver was impressive. They can really move the ball, and I just don't trust the Eagles secondary. Real quick, is there anything the fans should be watching in this game or should be looking forward to in particular that maybe they're not thinking about at this point?
Well, I mean, they're probably thinking about a few things. I mean, as you mentioned, the offense, DeMarco Murray's probably not going to be playing, so that could hurt the Cowboys certainly. And then you have DeMarcus Ware. It doesn't sound like he'll go. Probably miss his first game as a pro. And he obviously, as we all well know, is the best defensive player on that defense at defensive end. He's given many left tackles a run for the money, and certainly Jason Peters would have had a test. So it'll be interesting to see how the Cowboys compensate for not having those guys. The Eagles pretty much are healthy, aside, of course, from Michael Vick. So there's an advantage there.
Well, that's Jeff McClain. You can read Eagles Insight every Friday on Bird's Eye View and in the Inquirer. You can see all the latest news and analysis, the breaking news. It's coming from Jeff. So, Jeff, thanks again, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, Zach, thanks a lot.
Now, the hot topic in talking to Jeff was obviously Nick Foles and Nick Foles' future, and most of the questions I'm getting from Eagles fans this week are about that very topic. And the reality is, it looks like Nick will get a chance to essentially write his own future here. If he continues to excel, he's really going to force Chip Kelly's hand, and he'll have every opportunity, most likely, to be the guy here for the Philadelphia Eagles. The one thing about Nick is he's very even-keeled. He's not a guy who rides the emotional roller coaster of quarterbacks, and even after a performance like the one he had against the Buccaneers, just very low-key, very mild-mannered. And he was like that Tuesday when the media got the chance to speak to him. One thing Nick really emphasized was the 24-hour rule, getting over the game in 24 hours, whether he throws 4 touchdowns or throws 4 interceptions. He tries not to let it affect the way he acts, the way he operates in practice, the way he views the next game. You'll hear that and much more as Nick Foles met with the media.
That's awesome. Nick, as you watched the game from Sunday, what do you think of your performance?
I thought it was good. I mean, I thought we executed the offense pretty well. I thought there was a couple of goals that, what's great about games like that is we played well as a team, but there's still a lot of stuff we can do better. And that's what I look at. I look at, all right, what could I have done better on this play? Maybe a little more accurate on this. So that's where I get excited when I look at the film is I can play so much better. And that's why I come out here and work. I think about the things that I didn't do very well and I work on them. So I feel good about it, but I know it's a lot of things I need to work on.
Do you think teams will use some of the successful blitzes that Tampa Bay put in place? Do you think that'll be kind of a template for maybe how to attack you?
I'm sure they will. I mean, I really think that we'll, teams that'll see blitzes that were effective versus us, and they'll put it in their game plan and try to use it. When they seem right, But, you know, we'll be ready for it. You know, that's where we prepare. We fix corrections and we move forward.
You like that when people blitz
them? I mean, if you get the ball and you can gas them. You just got to know where it is, know where to go with the ball. And, yeah, I think that as long as you see where it's coming from and you know it and you know where to go, it's a good one.
I believe you're a recruited as a Division I basketball player. So are people making too much out of it or saying that, you know, you don't have athleticism and other quarterbacks? Is that kind of blown out of proportion? Or
it's whatever. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. I'm not going to put words. I know who I am. I know that I can play basketball. I know I can do all different things. But I got to prove it out there on the field, and I'll continue to work towards it and continue to, you know, prove it out there.
I think, you know, Deshaun's never really been a red zone guy since he got here, nobody.
Yeah, I heard that last week.
I mean, this is 2 weeks in a row now. He's called one of them in the red zone. What are some of the characteristics that, you know, he brings to that part of the field that they like to use him up
against? He's fast, and he can catch the ball in traffic. He has great eyes, great hand-eye coordination. And as long as you get him the ball, he's going to go get it. You know, he's shown that he's gotten into the right spot. And down there, it's windows. And a window could be open for a split second. That's where you got to hit it. Sometimes as a quarterback, you have to make a window with a little pump fake and then try to open it up for him. So he's just doing a really good job of staying on his route and finding the windows.
Are you going into this week expecting to start Sunday?
I'm going in this week like I always do. I work every day like I'm the starter, mentality, everything. Nothing changes.
Well, it changes the amount of first-team snaps you take. I mean, that's a change, correct?
Yeah. I mean, you get more reps with that. Yeah. But no matter what happens, if I'm not getting reps, I'm mentally getting reps, and then what throws I didn't get, if I'm not getting the first team reps, I'm going to throw after it. So it's sort of works in the same.
Is the relationship with Mike changed at all since the beginning of the year?
No, Mike and I stay really close, and, you know, we'll talk about anything. And we if anything, we've grown together throughout this whole thing. And, you know, that's the most important thing, is us to remain friends. And, you know, the most important thing here is the team success and what happens with the team. And that's what we both agree on. And we're both going to support each other no matter what happens. So that's what's pretty great about playing for this organization and the people around it, is everybody supports each other. There's always going to be competition. You're going to push each other, but as long as it's constructive and it makes you better and makes the team better, you know, that's what's important.
We've also seen situations where the two quarterbacks didn't have that mutual respect. What do you think yours is, Bill Adam? Why is it like that?
We've just been friends since we were here. I think you just have to put your egos aside in this situation. In any situation, you got to put your ego aside. And at the end of the day, I mean, I'm a person that believe I was raised, you know, to always, you know, whoever you're going against, cheer them on, try to make them better. But at the same time, you got to play your best, you know, you got to play your best when you're out there. And it's a team sport. It's not an individual sport. It's not someone trying to get the glory. We want this team to be successful. So for us to be most successful, we have to support each other. And it's been great just growing in that, you know. Matt's been all, and we've all quarterbacks have supported each other, and it was that way during OTAs, it's been that way during camp, and still that way, so it's pretty special.
I've been confident in your deep ball, that the results really seem to be there this year. In what ways have you gotten better, ways that you've been working on?
I mean, it started when I was a kid, throwing in the yard. I always liked going in deep. You know, in college, I had a lot of deep balls. I didn't change anything, to be honest with you. I just throw it. I feel it and I throw it. There's nothing really that I do to change it. I just trust my throwing. I throw rocks. I threw rocks to the kid. I was always throwing stuff. You ask my mom, I got in trouble breaking a lot of stuff. Throwing pillows at my sister. So it was nothing I changed. I just let a couple rip, and it was fun. I was excited to let a couple rip.
Who are you throwing rocks at?
I was skipping rocks in the water. And sometimes, you know, you try to hit a tree really far away. And you know,
snowballs?
Yeah. Texas. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's more like ice balls. I mean, you have to scrape the ice off the ground.
How about the other end of that spectrum with the screen game? It seems like there's kind of an art.
Yeah, definitely. I think that it's just all about deception. I think that you try to get the defense to go one direction, and you try to make it as real as possible, and you really want those guys to get as close as they can to you without really smacking you and trying to make sure you get the ball to the running back, tight end, receiver, no matter what it is. So I think it's more of a feel thing. I mean, you can work on stuff on the practice field, and that's what you got to do. You work on the techniques, but in a game, you got to feel it. You know, you got to trust your techniques, but at the same time, be able to, like a basketball player, make up a play and be able to make, you know, execute it.
Are you playing better now than you?
You can run this offense the way Coach Kelly wants it to be run without any major adjustments from him trying to, you know, change things.
I do. I do believe I can run this offense like Chip, Coach Kelly wants us to. I feel really confident in that because of the personnel we have around us as quarterbacks and the coaches. You know, we do a great job in practice of really on the practice of playing like, practicing like we want to play. So I feel really confident in that. Yes.
Are you playing better now than you did in July and August when this was an open competition?
No, I just feel like I mean. I've progressed. I've continued to improve daily, and it goes back to what I tell you, working on the small things. When I see the game, I feel, I'm excited we won. It's exciting, but I also know from playing this game a long time, you can't, last week's win cannot win this week's game. So I have to dissect what I can do better. I mean, you can feel good and be happy about what you did well, but I got to look at, hey, I need to do that better, because you never know in a game what play is going to change the outcome of the game. So that's how I approach it, and I have a 24-hour rule where I enjoy the game, the emotions that go with it. Or if we lose, I deal with those emotions, and I move forward and just try to, treat every day the same.
Along those lines, two of the division basically call which is the Giants and taking it out, they have their needs of some distance here. We just take a little bit of approach. They got to get approach a game like this in the situation. They just find themselves in a little bit.
I honestly don't look at it. I never have. I just know we're playing the Cowboys. I know that they're, a great team, and they played well the other night. That we just have to really prepare like we have been. And us worrying about the rankings and where we're at right now doesn't do anything. It's where you're at the end of the season. This week we play the Cowboys, and that's all we can worry about. It doesn't matter. We got to win this game, and we have to do what we, we have to prepare to the best of our abilities every single day. Today, to help win us the game on Sunday. So that's how we approach it.
Other teams around the league that lose quarterbacks, and there's always a huge drop-off, or sometimes it can affect an entire season. How unique is this situation where you got two guys that can actually go ahead and play?
I mean, I think we have three. I think, we have a great quarterback group with, Mike, me, and Matt. I think that we all, bring a lot to the table, and it's a great thing. You want depth of every position, and especially quarterback, and it's a good thing. I mean, I don't know what else to say, except it's a good thing.
And now, Nick, you talk about this 24-hour rule, but there's some quarterbacks who play with more confidence at a certain point than some other quarterbacks. Do you have a certain confidence about you now after the way you played last week, after the way you played against the Giants?
No, I know who I am. It's dangerous. When you start thinking you're good, I think there's a fine line between confidence and arrogance. And I just try to stay humble and just try to, strive to work better and try to improve myself. And you got to be confident. That's how you push the field. That's how you throw the ball. But sometimes when you start thinking you're pretty good, you start becoming complacent. And I've been there. I've done it. I did, in college. You have a great game. You throw four or five touchdowns. You feel good about it. And you go play the next game. You get smacked. Mm-hmm. And then you see them stars. And you're like, all right. And then you just learn through playing this game for a long time, hey, I got to stay steady. And I've had a lot of people around me that have helped shape me, my parents. I just trained Coach Paul, Coach Harry, Coach Selfo, all those guys. I've instilled things in me to stay steady and just strive to work and, be a great team player. So that's just through playing this game.
And so if it was four turnovers last game as opposed to four touchdowns, you'd feel the same about yourself right now?
Oh, you feel awful. I mean, we felt great after the game. You feel awful after the game, but as soon as that 24 hours is up, I move on. You got to be a man about it. You got to move forward, and you got to come out here, and that's why you practice. No matter what, you throw four touchdowns, you throw whatever, you got to have a great practice the next day. You can't go out here after you have a great game and have a horrible practice, because what does that show the team? You have a bad game and have a great practice, just how it works.
Nick, to tempo the offense, could it go even faster than last week?
Sure it could. It depends on the game, it's different situations. We just have to keep playing as fast as we can, but stay under control. I can't really tell you. I assume just you can always do things better.
Were the coaches happy with the tempo?
Yeah, I felt good with the tempo. I know the coaches felt good with it, and I think it's just cleaning up the execution on certain plays, cleaning up the messy plays, and making them better.
And let's go right from Nick to Vic, because you can't talk about one without the other. The reason why it looks like Foles is going to get his second start is because Mike Vick simply is not 100% yet, and this is the type of injury he needs to be 100%, or at least as close to it as possible, in order to effectively return from, simply because of what the limited hamstring does to the rest of his game. So you'll hear Mike discuss his status, his future, and many other topics during his interview with the media. This term 100% has been thrown around often this past week. How far are you from getting to 100%?
I'm just working every day. I can't say how far. Last year I was about 50%, maybe 60, 65. I was a bad form. So I'm just trying to work every day to get myself back in a position where I can come out here and run more speed down here.
What were you able to do today?
I did the same thing I did last week. Today was on Tuesday, so I didn't want to rush it. I didn't want to press it. Tomorrow I should have to do a little bit more.
Do you feel it getting better, though? I mean, do you sense that it's making progress?
Yeah, I feel it getting better. It's just when I try to reverse, it's still not just there. But, I think another week of rehab, people in a position where I can start gain some confidence and things that I don't
do. Michael, there's an old debate about whether a quarterback should lose his job when he's injured. How do you feel about that debate? Where do you come down on that?
I mean, we got to win the next football game. Who's ever out there, whatever we got to do, we got to win this next game against Dallas. It's a big one for us. Can't afford us into a position where we can kind of feel good about ourselves, but still understand that it's still a long road. We have three great quarterbacks, and we all believe in ourselves. We all believe we can win, and who's out there is going to try to put this team in position for more football.
Can you explain
to
the fans something that you
wanted to talk to? I can't answer that question. As far as I know right now, I just got to take one day at a time, day to day, and just continue to rehab. And when I say I'm ready, when I let Coach Kelly know I'm ready, then he can make the turnovers.
But your health,
when you're healthy part again? Of this offense, how does your conditioning, how does it impact not being able to do as much as probably
healthy? Well, I gotta stay in shape. I gotta get the treadmill going in and doing a good conditioning and try to, just keep my cardio up. It's very important for my legs to stay. It's a big part of what I do. This is something I can't take for granted.
Mike, you haven't had many soft tissue injuries in your career despite how much you run. So how difficult has that been for you to sort of navigate through this rehab?
That's why it's been so tough. I think I only had two hamstring injuries. Hamstrings are prevalent for fast guys. I never really had them. I do a good job of stretching. It's just that game against New York, I came with a different regimen and got the back right on. I understood what I did wrong, and hopefully it won't happen again.
It can be reactivated very easily, right?
Yeah, it can be reactivated quickly. I think because my eyes are so high and the way I run, I got to take precaution. I can't, open the door, and if I do, it'll be another 2 to 3 weeks. So I just got to, like I said, be real meticulous about what's going on.
Mike, you won the starting job in camp. Expect when you're healthy again that you'll get the starting job back?
I let Coach Kelly make that determination. We're not going to focus on what could be or what should be. Right now, I got to rehab. And I got to get myself back to 100% to where I can go out there and help this team if I'm out there on the field. So, I'm not going to try to make that determination right now. I can't even think that far. The only thing I can do is help us.
What was different
about your regimen? I just came with a different stretch. I just stretched different. And then I tried to overstride when I was running. I tried to extend too much when I was normally lean when I run. And just trying to do too much. Just that's how much I wanted to win the game.
And Mike, you're helping.
You weren't the kind of player you are. A runner.
With this hamstring injury,
would be as serious? I mean, if you were just a drop-back quarterback?
I could play, but still, this time in the game, I'm different. I see things differently. I feel things differently. In movement, I hitch up and then slide. That's just part of my game. That's why I think I've had, the success I've had. I won't try to change. Just having a hamstring injury, it's going to be things that's going to happen throughout the course of the game. You're going to have to open up.
Along those lines, you're healthy enough to dress on Sunday as the emergency guy. So what are you able to do and what are you not able to do?
If I had to go in the game, I can sit in the park and run football. That's like 7-on-7, but 7-on-7 is kind of realistic. Sunday is got people coming at you. You know, so being an emergency guy, that's just one of the things. If that's the case.
Just like mobility has kind of become a trend in the league, do you think at some point? It has become a trend. But what I'm saying is that you think the idea of having two guys who can start, two guys, I mean, in other words, the old drop-off between the starter and the backup, you know, is could that be something in the future or whatnot?
Playing two quarterbacks?
I mean, not yet, but playing two quarterbacks or just having one just in case, you know, that. Just like
yeah, in this system, I think Coach Kelly would always want a guy who makes the move, but I think they can move pretty good himself if we want to. You know, so so we got three guys. You know, Mac can move, and the more we're around each other, the more we kind of feed off one another. We learn from one another. You know, so they kind of get it instilled in their minds that they can be mobile too. And once they do that, you know, it changes the dynamic of that game when need be. You know, so they don't have to force it. So as far as two quarterbacks, three quarterback system, I think just the fact that we all can play the same type of game can help the same goals.
That was Michael Vick, and that sound you heard in the background, those pops, they were actually that's the jug machine, the wide receivers staying after practice, getting extra work. I was talking to Michael there, so I wasn't watching the receivers, but my guess is it was Jason Avant, who every day is there after practice working on his hands. It just gives you some insight, some color into what happens after an Eagles practice. Hopefully this podcast gave you some insight into what's going on at the Eagles facility this week, into the biggest story, which is the quarterback situation. We will continue to have it each week here on the Bird's Eye View podcast. We'll talk about the issues. I'll have Jeff McLean on each week. I will have insight from different people around the NFL as well as the audio itself from the players on the Eagles. So that's what you can look forward to on the Bird's Eye View podcast. This was the Week 7 edition and our second edition of the Bird's Eye View podcast. Please tune in next week. And again, if you have any types of requests, feedback, anything of that nature, you can get in touch with me at zberman, Z-B-E-R-M-A-N, at phillynews.com or on Twitter at zberm. That's Z-B-E-R-M. So for the Philadelphia Inquirer and the Bird's Eye View podcast, I'm Zach Berman. Thanks for listening.